We're just standing by. Might be another 2 or 3 minutes, I think, till we cross to this update from the National Emergency Management Agency and from the Minister, Kiritapu Allen. That's in the beehive that is Theatre S. I think that's going to be getting underway very soon. And just from St John, St John Ambulance has opened its National Crisis Communications Centre to monitor the developing situation today. St John Deputy Chief Executive Dan Ose says it's working with other emergency responders, including the National Emergency Management Agency. And he says ambulance services are operating as normal throughout the country. Let's go back to our reporter, RNZ reporter Tom Kitchen, who is in Whangara on the east coast, partway between Gisborne and Tolaga Bay. Hi, Tom. I think we've got a better connection. Good morning.
Kia ora, can you hear me well?
Yes, you were saying you were driving up and Hawke's Bay. What did you witness yourself?
Well, just north of Gisborne, there's a few beaches there, just north of Gisborne, and they're very much on the road, very much on the highway. And they look pretty normal to me. I couldn't see any odd activity. As I kept going north, it looked pretty much the same. But I think Tolaga Bay, where I'm nearly at, is where people are most fearful.
All right. And again, have you had a chance to speak to anyone or, get a sense of what's happening actually in the water and on the coast itself?
Well, I'm here in Whangara, or just out of the small village. So it's a small village of about 40 to 50 people. And I spoke to the civil defence coordinator here. And he said people are just very tired. They haven't been sleeping since 2:30 this morning. And they've been going back and forth from this hill where I am at now, near the village, back and forth because they had to evacuate and then they could go back and then they had to evacuate again. So they're feeling quite stressed, I'd say, but there's a good group of them there, and they're all having a bit of a laugh. So, just together as friends. But I think it is a little bit nervous underneath. Yeah,
that complication again of having three different events, three different earthquakes, and different messages going out, and then one message being stood down, and then another event happening. Has everyone you've spoken to said they clearly understood what was going on when that third warning came through?
I think there's been a bit of confusion and, a bit of fear, but I think everyone's just staying as positive as they can at this time because no one really knows what's going to happen and all you can do is remain positive. That's what the people I've spoken to have told me.
We'll let you continue that journey. Thank you very much. RNZ reporter Tom Kitchen, who is currently in Whangara on the east coast, or Whangara, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it. It is partway between Gisborne and Tolaga Bay. 25 minutes to 12 it is. We are just standing by and it is running a few minutes late. The media conference due to be held any time now in the Beehive Theatrette. This is the National Emergency Management Agency Minister Kiritapu Allen and also the National Controller Roger Ball. We were speaking to him a little earlier in the show, Corin, and he was pointing out they've just had nothing like this. Like three significant earthquakes to issue warnings on one after the other and, get this messaging across.
Yes, and he didn't want to give numbers, did he, in terms of the number of people that have had to evacuate. But if you just start to add up the towns that we've been talking about this morning, Whangarei or Potiki, there is a huge number of people that have simply had to move today. Now, I think I'm just trying to check to see where we're going to. John is with us. I'm not quite sure where he's from, but let's go to him anyway.
John Townend.
There we go, John Townend. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Morning.
What is the latest you are getting on in terms of any readings on this quake?
Well, it's been a busy morning, and as far as I understand right now, we've got a pretty good handle on the basic location of all three of the big earthquakes. There's still some discussion going on about the exact depths and the faulting characteristics of the first one, but that has sort of faded a little bit into history. The biggest earthquake, the one a couple of hours ago, is sort of the current focus now, and I think we've got pretty good evidence from the Global Seismic Network about what type of earthquake it was and where it was. And that's what's being fed by the tsunami experts into the tsunami hazard models.
Okay, John, you are a professor of geophysics at Victoria University, and you've just been holding a Zoom meeting on this, haven't you? And it is interesting to hear that a lot of countries around the Pacific are putting out warnings and advisories. This is a fairly major event. Is there anything on the scale that you've come across before?
Well, to be honest, this is sort of similar to what we've been on the receiving end from past big earthquakes elsewhere, like the Japanese earthquake in 2011 and the Sumatran earthquake and other more historic ones. And when you have a big earthquake, you know, the big column of water is disrupted at the Earth's seabed, and then it flows out in both directions. So our concern right now is for earthquake, for tsunami waves coming from the Kermadecs towards New Zealand. But equally, there are waves in principle that could be shooting out across the Pacific in different directions. So, you know, countries around the Circumpacific are always looking out for earthquakes, both locally and...
John, thank you very much. We'll return to you. I hope we can return to you a little later in the hour. We now cross to the Beehive, where the Minister, Kiritapu Allen, and the head of NEMA
are about to speak. First, I just want to acknowledge that this has been an extraordinary morning for many New Zealanders up and down the country. From 2:30 this morning, essentially, some people have been up worried about their homes, their families. I've had the, throughout the course of this morning, I've been briefed by my colleagues here. I have Roger Ball, who is the National Director from the National Emergency Management Agency, and GNS science expert Bill Fry with me as well, who will be able to elaborate on some of the causes for what's happened this morning, as well as the way that the approach to this event has been managed. But first, I do want to acknowledge the people of Te Tairawhiti, the East Coast, those up in Pewhairangi in the Bay of Islands, those where that have had to pick up their homes, pivot and evacuate, and have done so exceptionally well. The messaging was, when it is long or strong, get gone. This morning, whether that was at 2:30 or whether that was later on throughout the course of the morning, we saw New Zealanders literally adhere to that advice. They felt the long or strong earthquakes, and they knew to grab their bag and head into the Highlands. I can only but thank and acknowledge the tireless efforts of the men and women from up and down the coast who knew how to act, when to act, and what to do. This morning I have had the opportunity to come from the National Crisis Management Centre here in the bunker. I've been briefed by the national team as to the operations as they are unfolding across the country. What I will say is that this has been a dynamic event that is constantly evolving. Information has been provided on the basis sometimes of having to strike a balance, wanting to provide certainty to communities, but also having to trying to balance that with accuracy about how much information can be given. And I acknowledge my colleagues from both NEMA and GNS for being able to provide that balance throughout the course of this morning. As you'll know, the area that has had to be evacuated has been extended, and it now covers the area from the west coast of the North Island, from Cape Reanga to Ahipara, the east coast of the North Island, from Cape Reanga to Whangarei, from Matata to Tolaga Bay, including Whakatane and Opotiki, and Great Barrier Island. Our Civil Defence Emergency Management Groups in those affected regions have been activated and leading the response on the ground. I've just spoken literally with the team right now from Opotiki, who advised me that essentially all of that town has now been evacuated with the assistance from many stakeholders, including volunteers, the Civil Defence, as well as police. They have many of these centres have set themselves up and down the country in those areas that are most impacted and have are providing regional responses. People have done, as I said at the outset, the right thing in the regions by picking up, packing up, and by and large staying calm. I want to acknowledge the anxiety for many families and for many people as those messages were coming through this morning. I want to acknowledge that so many people have done exceptionally well to follow the Civil Defence Management messaging. And I want to thank the men, the women and children who have had their lives jolted this morning. Now, as we pivot towards the current environment that we're in, we're asking those that have moved to high ground or inland to remain where you are until the official all clear is given. The official all clear will be given when we have the advice that it is right to do so. We know that people may get a little, perhaps, tired or bored sitting at home or whatever it may be. But we are asking, please do not go and leave those areas until you have the all clear. I'm going to hand over to my colleagues from the National Emergency Management Agency and GNS to provide some further context, and then we'll be happy to take a couple of questions.
Thank you, Minister. Morena tato. As I'm sure you are aware, the National Emergency Management Agency issued a tsunami warning this morning following a magnitude 8.1 earthquake northeast of New Zealand near the Kermadec Islands around 9 a.m. The areas under land and marine threat, as the Minister has specified, are the following: the west coast of the North Island from Cape Reinga to Ahipara, the east coast of the North Island from Cape Reinga to Whangarei, from Matata to Tolaga Bay, including Whakatane and Opotiki and Great Barrier Island. Strong and unusual currents and unpredictable surges near the shore may be expected in other parts of New Zealand. This could affect beach, harbour, estuary and small boat activities, so we're advising to play it safe in those areas. People do need to stay off the beach and out of the water. The full list of those areas is relatively extensive. It is on our website on civildefence.govt.nz. The severity of currents and surges will vary over the period this morning that the warning is in effect for. We are advising people to stay out of the water, as I say, including the sea, rivers and estuaries, so that includes not going out in boats. We ask that people do not go sightseeing. This is important. The first wave may not be the largest. Tsunami activity will continue for several hours and the threat must be regarded as real until this warning is cancelled. Evacuation advice overrides the current COVID-19 alert level requirements. Listen to local civil defence authorities and follow any instructions regarding evacuation of your area. If you are told to evacuate, do not stay at home. Stay 2 metres away from other people if you are able to safely do so while you evacuate. Do not return until an official all-clear message is given by Civil Defence. The National Crisis Management Centre has been activated, as the Minister has said, in the Beehive in Wellington. All Civil Defence Emergency Management groups are active and closely monitoring the situation across the regions in support of their communities. Tsunami sirens in some areas have been used to advise of the warning. Regarding the emergency mobile alert, a series of EMAs, emergency mobile alerts, were issued to areas under land threat this morning, asking people to evacuate out of all tsunami zones to high ground or inland. The first alert was sent to the initial areas under the land threat on the east coast of the North Island. The warning was then extended to include the top of the west coast of the North Island. Only those in areas under land threat were sent the emergency mobile alert message. Thank you. That concludes my update, Minister.
We're happy to take any questions.
Minister, can you let us know if there was any warning that these cracks would be coming?
Look, the advice that we received is that the information came in from this morning, but I might turn to Bill Fry, who is from GNS, who's been monitoring the indices for us.
No, there's no way we can predict when the earthquakes happen. So the first of this morning came without any significant warning. Then after that, when we see a big earthquake like this, we know that we're more likely to see another earthquake after that. So we're particularly vigilant after the first earthquake, looking for the follow-on earthquakes.
Can you explain how the three are connected and why they're doing it? And also maybe a comment on how unusual it is to see earthquakes of this size.
Yeah. So I can comment on how the first and the last are related, because we have a pretty good feel for the physics and the science around that. The second middle earthquake, it's a bit more tenuous, so it happened quite far away, think 1,000 kilometers away from the first earthquake. When we have a big earthquake like the first one at 2 o'clock this morning, we know in the region that's very proximal to that earthquake, the nearby region, we know it's highly likely to have another earthquake. Usually that's not bigger than the first, which is what we've seen today, but it does happen. It's not unexpected. And then when you get farther and farther away, you have to invoke other mechanisms that are a little less certain, certainly in the early hours of a response.
How long have you been doing this, and how unusual is this in your experience?
I've been in New Zealand for 13 years responding to large earthquakes and tsunamis. This is the first time we've had this particular sequence, but every sequence we get, it's usually complicated, and we usually learn from it, and that's what I expect we'll do today.
Could you please clarify what the message is for Aucklanders who are near beaches?
Yeah. Look, so the messaging is that all of the messaging is available on the Civil Defence website. There has not been any notification that they need to evacuate, only in those areas where they have been required to do so.
That's correct. Auckland is not within the regions that are being asked to evacuate. Auckland is does have a beach and marine threat, as the Minister says, and they need to stay off the beach and out of the water.
Did the warning systems work overnight? There didn't seem to be tsunami sirens or that kind of thing.
Yeah, look, so the information that we've received this morning is that the system has held up, but as you'll be aware, with any event, we always undertake reviews, and we're constantly reviewing throughout the course as we're going as well. The warning system that went out this morning, because we had that first lot at 2:30, it was very targeted to those areas where there may be risk to life. So it was to quite smaller groupings. Obviously, over the course of the day, has been expanded as we got to that third earthquake. The advice that we've received is that the warning system is adequate, but I also, too, want to make the note that the media have played a significant role today in informing and keeping people very abreast of what it is that they should be doing, and I need to acknowledge the important role you've all played. The NEMA system doesn't operate in isolation. It requires people to carry that information, of which this team here has been exceptional stewards of. So where we look to in terms of the real impacts on the ground, do people know what they're meant to be doing? By and large, the responses and the feedback that we're getting is yes. When we're looking to those areas that needed to evacuate, by and large, when we're on the phones and talking to those, it seems to be that people understand very clearly what they need to do. So if we look at it as a system whole, has today's exemplified that the system is working? It seems to be that's the case, but obviously we'll be doing ongoing reviews to ensure that that is in fact the case.
Any of those sirens have gone off and didn't?
Perhaps I could make a comment on that, Minister. So the sirens are not operated nor activated by national authorities. Where sirens exist, they belong to and are operated by either local civil defence emergency management groups or possibly councils. So that is something for us to look at afterwards. But the operation of the sirens is not something that is handled by NEMA.
Do you have an idea or prediction about how extreme it could get, what sort of waves we might see?
Yeah, look, we'll turn to Bill in a second for that. And the indices that have come out in terms of the mapping that's been provided, in those lower-lying areas, the predictions based on the science that they've provided is that under 1 metre that we'll get to that swell. But for the areas that we've been asked to evacuate, that's where we've got a window, if you will, of a surge that may be between 1 metre to 3 metres, which is why we've asked for that evacuation. But, Bill, you might like to add something there.
Sure. We know from previous experience around the globe that time saves lives, so the quicker we can issue advice, the better prepared we are to make sure that people stay safe. So what we do in a response like this is we use the earliest available data to issue a forecast, and that forecast necessarily has a large range of uncertainty, and that's where that 1 to 3 meters comes in. As time progresses, as we're right now as we speak, we're collecting more and more data, we're updating our forecasts, and then the uncertainty of that model gets smaller. So as you just heard, right now the land threat is between a 1 and 3 meter threshold.
Are there people who are expecting any further earthquakes?
We're not expecting them, but it's certainly possible. So as I said, when you get a big earthquake, you're more likely to have another big earthquake, but it's the unlikely scenario to have something bigger than the 8-1 we've just seen.
Those people who have evacuated and are waiting up on higher ground, we've asked them to stay there until we know it's ready to go. Do you have any idea around the time frame that they could be waiting, and what are we looking for in terms of, you know, knowing that we've got the all clear to go?
Yeah.
To answer that first, no, we don't have particular timeframes. They could be quite long, could be quite lengthy, which is why we're asking people to really heavily rely on the broadcasting from media, from on the messaging from civil defence. Bill and his team are working exceptionally hard to ensure that the science is robust, that we have mitigated the risk to life before we can enable people to go home. And so it may even be as lengthy as sometime this afternoon. Bill, you may want to add something further there.
Sure. As we do improve the models, you might expect some of those threat bands, the coastal threat bands, to change. So rather than being a point in time where we say all of New Zealand's coastlines are completely safe, return to your normal activities, you might see an alteration of that map where you see the areas that have the highest threat perhaps change levels and the other threat bands change levels as well.
Could you please run through what happened sort of at 2:30 in the morning and sort of what the response was and what was activated and sort of go through what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we're in the hands of Roger Ball at that point.
Sure. So 2:30 in the morning, I think one of the things to point out about that very first earthquake is that a lot of people felt it all around New Zealand, and that's normal. That's what we expect, and that's what we base our public education campaign on, which is the first warning is often what we call natural, the felt effect. Okay, so I got woken up, our duty team gets woken up. There is already a 24/7 awake capability, which is based on the Geohazards Monitoring Centre operated by GNS, and they are on it straight away. Our duty team assembles and we activate our National Crisis Management Centre here below the Beehive. So it's a constant flow of trying to assess data and get public information out. And as the Minister indicated earlier on, it's a constant tension between speed and accuracy. Because we want to get information out in a timely manner, but we also want to make sure that what we're saying is useful and doesn't lead to a yo-yo effect or having to unwind the information.
There's no people on the Kermadex right now, what we understand, but do we have any idea of how bad damage is to any of the infrastructure that we do have there at this point?
Yeah, we haven't received any information to date that I'm aware of a damage assessment on the islands. Over the course, though, of the next period, once the emergency and any kind of emergent risks are contained, then we'll be able to undertake that risk assessment.
About 1,000 kilometres away, but the sea floor, it seems to be kind of a trench between and here. Does that change the kind of wave modelling?
It does, in quite a complicated way, which I'll get you to explain. I couldn't explain it prior.
Yeah, it sure does. The waves we see hitting New Zealand are a function of the wave that was started, where the earthquake was, and the path it takes to get to our coastlines. So in this deep water of the trench, the waves move very, very quickly, and that means that those waves arriving in, say, East Cape are arriving before those in North Cape that take a slower path. So the seafloor absolutely makes an impact, and then as waves get into shallower and shallower shorelines, then they start to get taller and taller and slower and slower.
Minister, for communities who are up on hill, have you had any advice around, you know, food supplies, water supplies, getting out to those people given the time in which they need to wait there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in touch with a number of the local civil defence teams to check on what types of supplies are being provided. My understanding is that there are multiple resources that have been stood up to service the communities, and that's something that we'll be, I guess, checking on throughout the course of the day, depending on the length of time that people are required to be up in those highlands.
We've seen a number of reports of the Waitangi River and the Whangarei town basin emptying, and the water that has remained there has changed colour. Can you confirm that? And if it has done that, what does that mean?
You want to make a comment? Well, I'll make a first comment. We are still gathering that information and impact data as it is coming in, but perhaps Bill might have a general comment.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of that information, but we did flag the area, the coastal zone around Whangarei, as one of the places early on that might be subject to some of our biggest waves in New Zealand. It's not outside our expectations to see changes in the currents there and changes in the water behaviour.
Mr. Frey mentioned time saves lives. This morning, were lives at risk, and are lives still at risk?
Yeah, look, when those evacuation notices go out, that's when there is it is considered that there is a risk to life. So when you are asked to evacuate, that's at the forefront of our team's notifications to people. And you don't ask people to do that lightly. So you would have heard, for example, earlier this morning, there was a range of comments about some people getting notices and some not. The assessment was done based on that risk to life component. If you were assessed as maybe it being a marine threat only, so where we could see that there was going to be some impact in the waters, but it wouldn't be so significant that it would cause risk to life, you probably didn't get the siren going off. But if you were within that area, it was a loud penetrating siren that got people up, and then obviously that caused people to move into action.
In terms of a message to Kiwis who are feeling really anxious, who are feeling really worried about this, what do you say to them?
Yeah, I think, look, that's absolutely natural to feel at the moment. The messaging that's been coming out all day is very likely to cause high levels of anxiety. What we're asking people is to try and stay calm, touch base with people that you love, check on the people that you know might be most at risk, and to really just listen to the advice that is coming through. There is very good messaging available to people. I know that within the communities that have been evacuated, there are hands-on-deck volunteers through to professionals that are there to assist, to be able to provide that kind of hands-on, guidance that may be required for some. So please do reach out. It's absolutely natural in these times to feel high degrees of anxiety, and there's plenty of people there that are able to be able to walk alongside you at the moment.
So given that Great Barrier is part of Auckland and they are under the level 3 restrictions at the moment, how should they balance it? You mentioned before that the civil defence overrides the COVID restrictions. So they should be listening to the civil defence instructions?
That's absolutely correct. So that's absolutely correct. In this circumstance, the civil defence messaging and instructions override the COVID ones for now.
So how does that work? So should they get to high ground, and if they can be 2 metres apart, they do that, but if not?
No. It's for now that it is the civil defence response override. So get to the highland, that's the thing that we're asking people to do in these circumstances. That's the priority.
Just in terms of rural, isolated, coastal communities, some are taking higher ground, which is still quite close to the coast. Is the advice to stay there or to move as far inland as possible?
Yeah, look, no, is the advice is to get to highland, so the risk has been assessed for those areas that have been asked to evacuate. Between 1 to 3 metres is the expectation that